Blog Talk Radio.
In this crazy time that we live in, impending war, people driving cars into crowds, people just trying to hurt people, you know? There's one thing we definitely need more of, and that's love.
Helping hands.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Abba, let your love ring down upon your children. Let your love ring down upon your people. Let your love ring down upon all those, Father, who need your love, Father. Father, we ask you to forgive us for our sins, Father, that we commit continually against you and against your Son, our Savior, our Redeemer, and prayerfully, with hope, towards the heavens, our soon coming King. Father, we ask now that you look down upon us with mercy, with favor, with kindness, and that you continue to keep us within your arms, Father, within the covering of your wings, Father, that you continue to be a high tower for us, Father, and a secure place, and that, Father, we stand upon your Son, the Rock, Yahushua HaMashiach, and that our foot never be moved, and that we do not go to the left or to the right, Father, but As silly sheep, Father, we go astray. Please, Father, with your yoke and your loving kindness, bring us back within the fold, Father. As your word says that you will leave the 99 to go after that one. Father, I ask that you look down upon all of those of us among the universal house of Yahweh, as well as this house, Beth Yahweh. Anybody who needs any healing, whether it be emotional, mental, spiritual, physical, that you fill us up, Father, where we are lacking, that you guard our steps and continue to be a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet, and a light unto our path, Father. Where our hearts are heavy, Father, lighten the burden. Where our minds are confounded, give us clarity. Where our hearts are heavy, make them light, Father. And give us the hope, Father. Reassure the hope, Father, within us that we have towards you continually every day. And on this beautiful Shabbat day, Father, we thank you for giving us another opportunity for life, health, strength, and an opportunity to commune with you and your Son and all the hosts of heaven that gather today, Father. The sun, the moon, the stars, the angels above, as they bow in honor to you, as they lift their voices in praise to you, that we not forget the words that we heard last Shabbat, that worshiping you is our weapon, that praising you is our allegiance to you and our force against the enemy. So as we embark on this journey today in your word, I ask that I be a worthy vessel. And if you have found me to be a worthy vessel, fill me up with your word this day, Father, and loving kindness towards my brothers and towards my sisters, towards my Zakanes, my Zakanas, towards my fellow laborers in the word, all my brethren. And that your will be done. B'Shem Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Baruch Atah Yahushua, our mighty King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Baruch Atah Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Shabbat shalom, family. Once again, this is your brother, Ahab Al, with Beth Yahweh Congregation in good old Baltimore, Maryland, USA. And once again, this is another episode. Actually, this is my sixth week, family. By Yahweh's will and permission, next week, you'll be hearing from Moray Deyuau, whatever words that Yahweh places upon his heart, that he will speak to you for the next 6 weeks prayerfully, that nothing comes about unforeseen. And again, this is your brother Ahava. Study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh, workmen that be not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And this final installment, we're going to talk about the way of love. The way of love, family. What is the way of love? How do we express? How do we show love? Why is love so important? Why has Abba been drilling this? I'm not even going to say inside our heads, but why has he been drilling this and trying to drill this in our hearts? And when I'm talking specifically to my brothers and sisters who are at hand in our congregation, Beth Yahweh, not to exclude anyone else. It's not at the exclusion of others, but this is my home. This is the house that I dwell in. This house of Beth Yahweh here in Baltimore, Maryland, USA, and those who may be listening who are members of other congregations,
You know, maybe you can take these messages back to your home. Hopefully you are taking some of these messages back to your home. And when I say the members of Beth Yahweh congregation here in Baltimore, I'm not just talking about the ones that actually reside in Baltimore. I'm talking about those that reside from Missouri to Delaware to Georgia and beyond. You know, just because you're not close in the sense of being within the D.C., Maryland, Virginia limits doesn't mean that you are not a member. If you are somebody who is tuning in from across the seas and you are touched by the messages that you receive and you are listening faithfully and you may be in communication with a brother or a sister, you too are considered a member. So it's not to the exclusion of you just because you may not be within close proximity, so to speak. And that's why we say, you know, the entire house of Beth Yahweh. So if you tune on the regular, these messages are for you. And hopefully those that you encounter, you will bring those messages back to them. And hopefully Abba has been touching your heart the way he is touching our hearts. And so again, the way of love. And I may seem, I'm not down, family. I'm not down, not at all. Just very pensive and listening to, you know, the message from last night. And as my brother illustrated, you know, I got two brothers that I work with. One I call Run Tell That, and the other one I call Can't Hold Water. You know, because one thing's for sure, you know. These two brothers, they're going to talk. And not in a bad way. I'm not talking in a gossipy kind of way, you know, and not even in a way where it's like they don't keep secrets. It's just a matter of, you know, when a message is near and dear to their heart and it's at their lips, they're going to speak it, you know. And, yes, my brother shared, you know, illustrated the story that we had, you know, one morning where we worked. And you know, we both, you know, I'm feeling good, man. I was feeling refreshed. You know, it was early in the morning, you know, coming to work, you know, always, you know, I look for my brothers first thing in the morning, you know, check in with the crew, make sure, you know, one of the brothers is part of the crew. So I have to check in on them both ways, you know, because I want to make sure that, you know, his spiritual well-being is in order, you know, but I also got to make sure that part of our responsibilities, you know, are taken care of so that, you know, if we got to start getting prepared for the influx of our visitors and patients for the day, we ready. So one morning, you know, we were looking good. Everything was good, feeling good. Encounter our brother what my brother, because he was the one who, you know, who saw that he could potentially be, you know, a brother, and reached out to him, you know, three times, Shalom Mach, Shalom Mach, Shalom Mach. And, you know, he flamed back with, well, I'm an Israelite. I'm not an Aki. It's like, okay. Wow. All right. See where this is going right away. And I immediately put my, let's get ready to war mindset on. And I'm going to be honest. I'm going to fill in some details that my brother, you know, may not have mentioned. You know, the first thing the brother talked about when he looked at my brother and saw, you know, saw Aziz, you know, the first thing he said, oh, you're not part of the second Exodus. You ain't going to make it through the second Exodus, brother. Like, whoa, wait a minute. And my brother was like, well, explain that. What is that? And I'm just saying that before he could get the words out of his mouth, I could get the words out of my mouth. He even go, explain that. What is the second Exodus? What are you referring to? You know, I could tell right now you ain't gonna make it through the second Exodus. Okay, well, what is the second Exodus? Talk to me. You know, he said, because you're not part of the true church. I could see you're not part of the true church. Okay, well then, what is the true church? Oh, IUIC. You know, whatever the thing. Then Jesus Christ. Oh, hold up, brother. Well, first of all, his name is Yahweh. What are you talking about? Oh no, see, you ain't part of the church. And, you know, getting a little job hostile, you know, and the brother, you know, was sincerely reaching out to the brother in love. He was happy to see him because I'm peeping the scene, you know, I'm there, but I'm also at a distance and I'm checking out what's going on. He was happy to see the brother. But, you know, as a brother approaching, I noticed in his hand, you know, he had the scripture and he had the Apocrypha. And when I say he was Star David up, I mean, daggone. I mean, how many Star Davids can you put on one person? But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So as the conversation, and it wasn't a very long conversation, as the conversation, you know, progressed, you know, of course, if Bruntel that, you know, I mean, my brother, you know, mentioned that, you know, he was asked first. After that, he was like, you know, my brother asked him, well, you know, how are you using Jesus? Jesus isn't the real name, brother. And he was like, well, and he, you know, retorted, well, there's no E in Hebrew. And he, of course, well, my brother right here, he's the Hebrew teacher. Tell him, huh? I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I'm tagged in now. But I'm already, like, aggravated. Just from the little instance of this interaction that we had, because it's like, man, you know, brother reaching out to you in love and you know, sincerity, and you coming back with, you immediately come over with attack. And it was like, wow, bro, you know, it's like, let's try to build before we tear down and destroy one another. You know, because at the end of the day, all we, or supposedly all we have, all one another. You know, we've got this entire world system that is waiting. See, when we hear the four winds are being held back, the four winds aren't being held back just for the destruction of the planet. The planet at the end of the day is collateral damage. And it has been collateral damage. But you know what the jewel is? You know what the jewel is? The jewel is getting the true Israel of Yah to go astray. The true Israel of Yah to see them destroyed. Because if the Israel of Yah is destroyed, the true people of Yah, those whom he has sealed, those who he has called out, those who are the people, the flock under his care, if they are destroyed, then there's no hope for the planet. Because the truth of the matter is, he, Abba Yah, during the time of Noah, showed that he is willing to wipe the people off the face of the earth by bringing about cataclysm to the earth via the flood in order to save the souls that are serving him. In order to save the souls that are worthy of his salvation, he is willing to wipe everything off of the face, everything that he created from day two on down, he's willing to destroy all of that in order to save those who are going to truly serve him and build anew. Four winds being held back. Nuclear war? So what? Nuclear holocaust? So what? For those who may believe, zombie apocalypse? So what? At the end of the day, the prize is the Israel of Yah. So back to this encounter with this brother, right? So we're not going anywhere. We hit an impasse, dead stop. Nothing is going to come about the situation at this point other than, you know, a learning lesson and a talking point, which we're talking about now. You know, the brother said, you know, this was the point where I feel, man, you're going to hell. Y'all going to hell. I was like, whoa. Hey, we escalated to the ultimate really quickly. I mean, talking about this conversation was only about 3 to 5 minutes, tops. And before anything else could be said, before there could be any deliberation, there could be any sort of consensus or anything else, man, y'all going to hell. And that's when I was done with the conversation. I'm going, okay, all right, bro. Well, there's nothing further for us to talk about then. I'm going to go about my business. I'm going to finish checking on what has been entrusted to me at the where I work, right? And this is where I fell after reading the scriptures. Bro, you're going to be judged for them words that you just came out your mouth with. And I had to look him dead in his eye and tell him that. Bro, you're going to be judged for the words that you just uttered out your mouth. We didn't come at you with hostility. Came at you with peace. Shalom was the first thing that was said. Three times, shalom, Aki. And then my brother was said after that in Hebrew, if you could discern that. Shalom, Aki. Shalom, Aki. Shalom, Aki. I'm not an Aki. I'm an Israelite. And see, I took the position, well, you're going to be ignorant? Let you be ignorant. You go on ahead in your ignorance. Bleeper. That's how I felt at that point. You go ahead, you be ignorant. But no, you know, and this is why I put him in the role that he's placed in, because he had a certain level of patience and toleration that I couldn't muster up at that point. And as opposed to allowing the OBN inside of me to flame on and flame out and to go into straight up Nova Prime mode and nuke this young man, I decided to walk. Probably not the best thing to do in that situation, and that's where love failed within me. And as I'm going through the scriptures that Abba gave me today, I realize, yes, that's where love failed in me, because the scriptures say, to them that curse you, bless them. That's what the word of God says. Pray for them who despitefully use you. Pray for them. At that point, I did not have that in me. Other than to retort, yo, bro, you're going to be judged for them words. You're going to curse me, a child of the Most High God, to hell for what? Reaching out to you? And as the brother came back later after some contemplation about the situation, he was saddened by it. I was aight with it. I was. But I shouldn't be all right with it. Because at the end of the day, it's about saving all souls. At the end of the day, it's about showing love to all individuals, despite their mental disposition. I was emotionally irresponsible at that point. And that has been my mantra and will be my mantra within my mind going through the rest of this season. Am I being emotionally responsible? Am I being responsible with my emotions? That's what I've been trying to teach about for the last couple of weeks. But I got to tell on myself. At that point, I was emotionally irresponsible. I got aggravated. I got agitated. And I wasn't trying to allow myself to get angry, though. But I was there. I was right there at that point. I stumbled. Because in my mind, I wanted my day to be peaceful. I wanted to have a nice conversation, start the day with a gentleman named Mr. William, who I love his spirit, and with my brother. And then here comes this dude bringing about disruption. But hear what the word of Yahweh says. Romans 12:10, and this is the key scripture, the key note, for lack of a better term. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Excuse me, family. Need some water. Pardon me, please. Sorry about that. And let's jump into it now, since I done yammered a little bit. We're going to start with actually, the scripture above that, Romans 12:9. We're going to start at Romans 12:9. And I'm going to be reading from the WEB at this point. And it's funny, the header is the marks of the true believer. Right? He says, the writer says, and I just want to check one thing before I start reading. He says, let love be without hypocrisy. abhor that which is evil, cling to that which is good. Now, if you're reading from the King James Version, it says, let love be without dissimulation. And I want to look at that word really quickly for my family. And this dissimulation in the Greek is anoukpokritos, right? And it says it's from G1 and combined with G527, right? And it says unfeigned, undisguised, sincere, right? So let it be sincere. Let that love be without hypocrisy. It means be sincere in that love. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. In love of the brothers, be tenderly affectionate to one another. And of course, we're not talking about physical affection, even though when we hug, we grasp each other. You know, that's, and the scriptures even say, greet your brother with a holy kiss. Now, some brothers may take that too far. I've seen some brothers take that way too far. Hey, look, bam. You know, we embrace one another, you know. And I'm not saying that it's wrong and proper to greet a brother with the holy kiss. But like I said, I done seen some brothers take that a little bit too far. And it says, in love of the brothers, be tenderly affectionate to one another. In honor, preferring one another. And we should hold our brothers in this way with a certain level of esteem, with a certain level of honor. We should, when we see one another, matter of fact, let's look at that word because it's timely. It's very timely. And it's funny because in the Greek, it's time, T-I-M-E, but with the accent on top, time, right? And it's the Greek 5092. A valuing by which the price is fixed, of the price paid or received for a person or thing bought or sold. Dude, you were brought with a price. So when I see my brother in the way, when I see my sister in the way, when I see my family in the way, I should honor the fact that we have a similar situation. We are here as a result of the price that was paid with the precious blood of Rabbi Melech Yahushua HaMashiach. The fact that he paid the ultimate price so that we could be here, I should honor each and every member in the body. I should prefer to see them. I should value them. I should make sure that when I see them, it is in love, it is in joy, it is in happiness, because we share the same circumstance. We are here because we believe in Rabbi Melech Yahushua HaMashiach. We believe that he paid the price with his life for us. And as a result, our redemption is what keeps us in commonality with one another. Preferring. From the Greek, G4285, to go before and show the way, to go before and lead, to go before as a leader. I should be leading the charge. Each one of us should be leading the charge and loving and honoring one another more than any other person that we encounter. We should see and value each other as being very special. Again, in love of the brothers, and it says brothers, but it's the family, brothers, sisters, elders, whomever. In love of the brothers, be tenderly affectionate to one another, in honor, preferring one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the master, rejoicing in hope, enduring in troubles, continuing steadfastly in prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality, not asking a whole bunch of questions as to why a person's in the circumstances, But understand that a person is in circumstances. It happens. We could deal with the why, when, how, what, where, later. The problem at hand must be attended to. Let's deal with the questions afterwards. 12:14. Bless those who persecute you. I failed at that. I didn't bless the brother back for that. Bless and don't curse. Your brother Aha failed at that. Because once he railed at me, I railed right back at him. Bro, you're going to be judged for them words. I ain't say it that loud. He's right there in the middle of where we working. I was like, bro, you're going to be judged for them words. I failed at that. Because he said, bless those who persecute you. Bless and don't curse. But when he cursed me, rejoice, 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Don't set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Don't be wise in your own conceits. Repay no one evil for evil. I did that. I got to telling myself, I did that. Repay no one evil for evil. Respect what is honorable in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it is up to you, be at peace with all men. Don't seek revenge yourselves. I sought revenge. 12:19. Don't seek revenge yourselves, beloved, but give place to Yah's wrath. For it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says Yah. I got besides myself. I thought too highly of myself in that moment. I forgot where I was. And I'm talking about not so much at my place of work, but where I was in the presence of Yah. Delif ne me'ata omeh. Where two or three are gathered in your name and the name of Yahweh was invoked, I am there in the midst. So Yahweh was there in the midst of this situation. And I forgot that. And again it says, don't seek revenge yourselves, beloved, but give place to Yah's wrath. For it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says Yahweh. 12:20, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will reap coals of fire on his head. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I was overcome by evil. I let the ignorance of the brother, I let the situation get me out of position. And whereas I should have utilized more kindness and treated more kindness towards that brother, I allowed that ignorance of the situation consume me. Again, it wasn't heated. It wasn't heated at all. It didn't get to a point where voices were elevated because, again, I'm a firm believer in these wise words that I learned from somebody. Don't raise your voice. Raise your argument. Even in that encounter with the brother, interaction with the brother, I didn't raise my voice. Simply made that statement and walked away. But the word of Yah has a funny way of telling on you and telling you about yourself. I had that moment where, as opposed to speaking to the rock got struck. And the lesson we're supposed to learn from those situations is always stay in his presence. Always keep your head. Always be cool. Always be calm. And don't allow yourself to be consumed by someone else's emotions. 1 Corinthians 13, starting at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting at verse 1. If I speak with the languages of men and of angels, and that's the Hebrew tongue, because men speak it as well as the angels speak it. Whenever the angels encountered someone, they said they spoke them in the Hebrew tongue, right? So if I speak with the languages of men, and it's all languages, but in particular, Hebrew is a language, a heavenly language that men have been given to men to speak. If I speak with the languages of men and of angels, but don't have love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but don't have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but don't have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient and is kind. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't brag, is not proud. Doesn't behave itself inappropriately, doesn't seek its own way, is not provoked. I allow myself to be provoked. Takes no account of evil. Doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. And when it says all things, it's talking about all things referring to the scriptures. Not all things as anything that's out there on TikTok, anything that's out there on YouTube, anything that's out there in the interweb that we go ahead and we believe and we cling to it. No, it's talking about everything. As a matter of fact, the word will explain it in the next scripture. 13:7, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but where there are prophecy, they will be done away with. Where there are various languages, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will be done away with. So at some point, as we've been learning, as we've been on this journey, there's going to be the end of that prophetic time. And they will go on into a new era, a new age of man's existence. And my prayer is, as was stated in the questions, and for some reason, Ava has been putting out a lot of questions to us, Beth Yahweh, a lot of questions. And why is that? He wants us to get right. He wants us to be right. If we are going to truly represent him, let me tell you something. Think about a brand and think about being a Hebrew Israelite, being the Israel of Yah. And I don't want to just use the term Hebrew Israelite. Think of a brand, think of a trademark, right? A quality brand, whatever it is in your mind, whatever the highest end product that you could possibly think of right now, think about it, right? And when something is trademarked, especially if it is something of quality, and it gets that trademark stamp on it, whether you're thinking about a pair of sneakers, whether you're thinking about a car, whether you're thinking about a restaurant, whether you're thinking about anything, once it has that stamp of quality on it that says this is a representative of this brand, that means a certain level of quality is expected from it. Like, for instance, I'm going to use the car company that has the two R's, right? I watched a documentary on the making of the high-end one, right? And how anyone can order it and have it customized to their specifics, whether it's paint, interior, you know, all the fixings or whatever. But there's a certain quality that still must be associated with that particular brand. And anything less, anywhere that that company falls short, especially if there's one that's custom made, they will buy it back from the person who purchased it and they will make it right. Because that's how important that their brand excellence, that their brand quality is to the executives of that organization, which is then an arm of the creator of that company, that organization. So are we. So when we claim to be, quote unquote, his Hebrew Israelites, when we claim to be the Israel of Yah, when we claim to have that seal, that stamp, that trademark on us that says that we are representatives, as the scriptures say, as Shaul says, we are ambassadors, that means it behooves us in every aspect of our life, in every situation in which we are involved in every encounter, that we represent him well and to the standards and to the quality of his specifications, not ours. And he gave us very specific things to do, and we're going to go into that next, right? Now, remember where we started with all of this, family. Remember where we started 5 weeks ago. What is the sign that we are truly learning the lessons that Yahushua HaMashiach has taught, has been trying to teach us? John 13:34-35. He says, a new commandment. This is not a suggestion. This is a commandment. This is not, this is what I think you should do. This is what I require of you, coming from Rebbe Melech Yahushua HaMashiach. A new commandment. This is an addendum. This is an amendment. This is an add-on. This is part of the contract, as it was stated, that we signed on the dotted line. Diggity, diggity, dot, dot. And he's trying to get us right. He's trying to get us to be up to brand quality standards when it comes to when we go out there and we say we are this or we are that, that we are representing very well. He wants the mark of excellence. He wants the mark of quality. He called us his jewels. And if mankind, human beings, can make quality jewelry that is considered to be priceless, how much more? If Yahweh says, if Yah says we are his jewels, we are his bling, we are what he likes to floss himself with, how much more us? He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So he says, I set the standard by what love I have shown unto you. And why that word says you were brought with a price. You are supposed to be a quality product of the highest spiritual standards when it comes to this walk. You are the boutique store item when it comes to spirituality. You are the rare find when it comes to quality. You are the priceless treasure when it comes to your worth in his eyes, because you represent him. So again, if he is the example of love, that means we are supposed to be equally the same standard of love that he has shown. Again, this is a commandment, not a suggestion. Just as I have loved you, you also love one another. And he says, by this, this is the standard, the love that I have shown to you. This is what you are to emulate. This is what you are to show to the world. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If ye have the love that I've shown you expressed among one another. Do we understand that? Do we understand that? So what do we do? What do we do, family? What do we do in hearing this? For all those over the years that have asked, what are the brothers doing? What are the brothers doing? What are the brothers doing? Okay. So the brothers have been giving, as my brother stated last night, time, effort, great pains in ensuring that we what we all believe to be the messages that Abba has been giving us, given to everybody. Now that we have done that, the question is, what is being done with it? What is being done with it? For all that have asked over the years, well, what are the men doing? What are the brothers doing? Excuse me, let me another sip. What is being done with it? Because the question is, what are you doing with it? What is being done with it? Because it's not our words. Yes, sure, we may be the voice, we may be the vessel, but it's not our word. This isn't the testament of Ahab Al. It's not the testament of Arya, Yaka'el, Yara'el, Sheba'el, Sefut'el, Mara'el, Kanik'el, Deyu'el. It's not our testament. Not our. It may be our testimony, but it's not our testament. So what do you do with it? What are you doing with it? Because seed is being casted out. His word is being broadcast. Is it taking root in your heart? Is it growing within you? Finally then, brothers, 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Finally then, brothers, we beg and exhort you in the Master Yahushua that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please Yah, that you abound more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through Yahushua HaMashiach. Let me read that again. Finally then, brothers, sisters, family, mishpacha, zakenas, we beg and exhort you in the Master Yahushua HaMashiach that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please Yah. He didn't call us to be perfect. All he did was call us to be ready to speak his word, that you abound more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Master Yahushua. For this is the will of Yah. First, your sanctification. That is first and foremost. That you find sanctity, that you are a set apart vessel, that you are able to be used by the Most High Yah. That you abstain from sexual immorality, and sexual immoralities falls under so many categories. What you do with your eyes, what you do with your mind, what you say out your mouth, what you do with your body. That each one of you know how to control his own body in sanctification and honor. Again, what you do with your eyes, what you do with your mind, what you say out your mouth, what you listen with your ears, what you do with your body. He starts off with that each one of you know how to control. Guard your gates, guard your gates, guard your gates, guard your gates. That each one of you know how to control his own body in sanctification and honor. So when you don't control what you do with your eyes, when you don't control what you do with your mind, when you don't control what you say out your mouth, when you don't control what you listen to, when you don't control what you do with your body, you are now standing outside of that sanctification and that honorable vessel that he has called us to be. Not 4:5, not in the passion of lust, even as the Gentiles who don't know Yah. So we prize ourselves, we parade around that we Hebrew Israelites, to be the Israel of Yah. But guess what? When we don't sanctify ourselves in that way, sexually, we are no different than the Gentiles. That's why he says, even as the Gentiles who don't know Yah do. 4:6, that no one should take advantage of and wrong a brother or sister in this matter. That no one should take advantage of and wrong a brother or sister in this matter. He's talking about sexual immorality. Because the master is an avenger in all these things, also, as also we forewarned you and testified. For Yah called us not for uncleanness, but in sanctification. Therefore, he who rejects this doesn't reject man, but Yah, who has also given his Holy Spirit to you. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that one write to you, for you yourselves are taught by Yah to love one another. For you yourselves are taught by Yah to love one another. 4:10, for indeed, you do it toward all the brothers who are all in Macedonia. But we exhort you, brothers, that you abound more and more in what? In love, and that you make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and to do your own business and to work with your own hands, even as was instructed you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside. And when he says outside, he means outside of the faith. And may have need of nothing. And it's so funny because my brother and I, we were talking about the Amish the other day. And see, family, when we get caught up in some of these things that happen, we have no one to blame but ourselves. Because they have given, and there's countless millions of people around the world who live in the manner in which Abba intended for us to live without all these modern conveniences. There are people to this day who have never sat inside of an automobile. There are people to this day who don't have a washing machine. There are people to this day who don't have television. There are people to this day who have herds who use the ground, the earth that Abba intended for them to live off of as their sole substance. And you may not like to hear that, but it's the truth. We've allowed ourselves to be victimized by technology. And y'all remember what Deuel said technology means? When he went into the etymology of technology, it was actually to make mankind weaker. All these modern conveniences. I had a wonderful conversation with last Shabbat, where there were times when people took a three-day journey to hear the words of Rebbe Melech Yehoshua HaMashiach. A three-day journey. How it took months of planning to make the week's journey to make it to the Holy Land for the pilgrimage that we were required to keep. Remember when Yehoshua got lost? Well, he didn't get lost. He knew he was exactly where he was supposed to be. Remember when Miriam and Yehoshua lost track of him? And they had to go back 3 days to find out where he was, went all the way. They had already been on a three. Imagine sometimes we leave our house and we get halfway to our destination. It ain't even got to be that far. It could be a couple minutes away. And we have to go back. How upset we are. Oh, I forgot this. Oh, I got to go back and get it. Imagine now you got to walk back 3 days to find your baby. You got to walk back a couple of days to find out where your son was. But people did it. That's the sad part about it. We can't fathom people doing that. But we are barely 150 years away of growing all of our own food, having our own livestock, doing all of these things, not having to go to the Gap, to Old Navy, to buy a pair of Vans sneakers, have a pair of Nike sneakers. We're barely 150 years past the time when people had to grow their own stuff, make their own things. Barely out of that. Build their own houses. Not spend thousands of dollars a month to have a mortgage. The things we take great pride in, having vehicles. People had donkeys. They didn't even have horses. They had donkeys. So when the proverbial poop hits the fan and we get caught up in it, as a result of it, the grid goes down and we ain't got no lights. Guess what? We gonna suffer through it because we don't want to suffer through living the way Abba wants us to live. So yeah, it's gonna be a sad time, but you know who it ain't gonna be sad times for? People who's already living like that. Because they ain't caught up in stuff, things that Yahushua already told us, don't get caught up in these things that will rust and the moths are going to destroy. So we worry so much about it because we're so caught up in it. Because we're not living the simple life that he called us to live. See, the more you have, the more you have to worry about. The less you have, the less you have to worry about. The more you're used to dealing without, the less you worry about when it happens, you don't have it. But because we're so attached to it, we worry about how we're going to preserve it. First Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth through the Spirit in sincere brotherly affection, love one another from the heart fervently. So you mean to show love fervently to one another. It purifies our soul. Because the mark of our obedience to the commandment that Yahushua gave us is to love one another. In loving one another, we provide purity to one another. You mean we help make each other clean through love by sprinkling that clean water on one another? That the love that we show towards one another can help purify each other. Second Peter, one in this last set of scriptures I'm reading. Second Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 7. Matter of fact, I'm starting at 5. It said, yes, and for this very cause, adding on your part all diligence, in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in moral excellence, knowledge, and in knowledge, self-control, and in self-control, perseverance, and in perseverance, godliness, and in godliness, brotherly affection, and in brotherly affection, love. See, again, this is part of the playbook. That is how you go about achieving that love. See, that's why he starts with moral excellence. You see, the high standard and high quality of your sense of morality. And when I say morality, I'm not talking about morality like mores that the world uses. I'm talking about morality in the sense of the standard that is brought about by obedience to the word of Yah. That the only standard of morality that the world has is based off of what they call, quote unquote, Judeo-Christian mores and values. And it always starts off with Judeo, the way of the Hebrews, the ways that were given to Abraham, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov, and to our forefathers at Sinai. That is the standard, the high quality of standard, how we're supposed to conduct our lives. The Torah. Period. Anything that the world considers moral comes from the Torah. Bump Hammurabi and his code. We exist, and Hammurabi is none other than Nimrod, the founder of Babylon. He ain't got no real moral code. It's barred testimony. He jacked it. Because before there was a Nimrod, there was a Noah. Before there was a Nimrod, there was Ham, Japheth, and Shem. And before them, there was Adam. And before them was also their sons, Cain, Abel, Seth, and so on and so forth. 1:7, and in godliness, brotherly affection. And in brotherly affection, love. Love is the standard, the way of love. It is the standard, the love that Yahushua has for us. And if that can no longer be the tie that binds us, then what could possibly bind us to one another? If that is not the tie that binds us, what then can bind us to one another? If the love that Yahushua has shown us isn't enough for us to look past prior indiscretions of a brother or a sister laid against us, then what more can be done? If it's not enough to make you seek out your brother, seek out your sister, seek out your husband, seek out your spouse, and make things right, then what more can be done? If his precious blood isn't enough to bring peace within you, then what more can be done? You have the Torah. But he came to magnify the Torah and make it honorable. How did he magnify the Torah and make it honorable? He didn't come through condemning people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed him will not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't come into the world to condemn it because the world was already condemned. The world was already an abandoned, burning down building that was rat infested, roach infested, lice infested, bed bug infested, name it. It's in here. Sin infested, darkness infested, demonic stronghold infested. It was already here by the time he got here. So why? And he says in his word, he said, why point out the mote, the splinter in your brother's eye when not looking at the mote in your eye? He's going to point out the obvious. He ain't have to come down here and say, yo, this world is messed up. People already knew by then. We've had thousands of years of history, 3,999 years prior history to him coming, that the world was jacked up. For him to come and say, man, the world is jacked up. No, he came, in other words, after the 3,999th day, on the 4,001st day, he came, and however long it took him to grow up to that point, to come and say, hey, I got a better way for y'all. Beyond the universe, beyond the sky, beyond the stars and the clouds and everything that you see, there is a place where there's no corruption that exists. But we're going to have to work to get there. We're going to have to tear this thing down together. Y'all understand that? It's so funny that they're doing construction where I work right now. And in order for them to raise a new building, the old building had to be raised. It had to be torn down in order for them to erect a new high-end, high-class facility that's going to have all the state-of-the-art equipment. They got to tear the old one down. Message. Everything in this system has to be torn, but we are part of that. We are part of that construction team. We are part of the destruction. We are part of Jeremiah to tear down, root up, and rebuild. So as was stated last week, we are here to tear this system down, not by condemning everybody to H3 double hockey sticks. We're down here in order to help people know and understand there's a better way. But we have to be the examples. We've got to be brand ambassadors for the kingdom. To put it in those terms, put it in whatever terms make sense to you. As my brother stated last night, he takes his uniform off because if he gets into any altercation, he doesn't want it to be associated with the institution he works for. But guess what? If you have your brand uniform on, you always are representing, talking about all of us. You're always, and I'm not just talking about the physical attributes, the physical acumen. I'm talking about your spiritual attributes and your spiritual acumen. If you got all of those on, then you're representing a much higher brand. Second Peter 1:7, and in godliness, brotherly affection, and in brotherly affection, love. For if these things are yours and abound, what things? Moral excellence, self-control, godliness, and brotherly affection and love. For if these things are yours and abound, they make you to be not idle or unfruitful in the knowledge of your master, Yahushua HaMashiach. For he who lacks these things is blind, seeing only what is near, having forgotten the cleansing from his old sins. So if you are still having aught with a brother, if you are still having aught with a sister, you haven't been cleansed from your old sins. Your old sins are still a mark upon you. If you haven't let it go, if you cannot let it go, that mark is on you. 1:10, therefore, brothers, be more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. 1:11, for thus you will be richly supplied with the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our master and savior, Yahushua HaMashiach. Hold up, hold up, hold up. Time out, pause. Y'all get the message today from Brother Yaakov? I don't talk to Brother Yaakov about my lessons. Not because he's not my rabbi. Not because I don't treasure the knowledge that he has. Because oftentimes I don't get them beforehand. I don't. There are days I will put these scriptures to me just before it's time to get on. Now, today wasn't necessarily one of them. Abba gave this lesson to me at some point last night. I didn't even get to go to Bible study in person this week. Y'all got questions to answer to that person in the mirror. The clock is ticking on your accountability. These questions ain't being asked for nothing. Because these are questions about the state of your soul, the part that's going to actually allow you to get into the kingdom. All of that that Peter just illustrated. Moral excellence, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly affection, love. Are these things abounding in you? For thus you will be richly supplied with the entrance into the kingdom of our Master and Savior, Yahushua HaMashiach, family. Don't let the opportunity to be a part of the kingdom, and this is my greatest fear for myself. Don't let the opportunity pass you by to gain entrance into the kingdom. Don't let those words be said to you. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. We have to help one another in every way possible. This is my question to anybody. This is my ask. This is my request to anybody that listens to this lesson. If Brother Ahab L., whether you know me by my government or not, in any way, if any word that I have said in these lessons have been offensive to you, please, by all means, call me, check me, get me right. If I'm in error, let me know. Whatever I have done to you, allow me the opportunity to be forgiven, to earn the forgiveness. I need to be purified. I need my soul to be cleansed. I need your love. And that's the God's honest truth. I need my brothers and sisters' love. I need your help. I don't say pray for me just because it's some slick thing to say. No, I say pray for me because I need prayer. And as the brother stated last night, family, if you got situations going on in your home, if they are of importance to you, if they are of value to you, don't look at us for the brothers and sisters that you may see in passing. No one understands that Abba has made us vessels for a reason. Eliyahu was not perfect. As a matter of fact, if you want to know how imperfect every one of the men that Abba has chosen and placed his spirit upon, read Jonah's story. And of all the people who would be the example that Yahushua would give, Jonah. But look at Jonah. Jonah's story was one, ain't no way I'm going out there to say them heathens. Ain't no way I'm going out there to preach to them Gentiles. Ain't no way I'm going to preach to them people after they done persecuted Israel. Ain't no way. Jonah was like, no. Yonah basically said, over my dead body. And Abba said, okay. And even towards the end of the book, when he talked about the gourd, and how when the gourd had dropped and became spoiled, how he was so sad about the gourd. And Abba had to say, well, that's how I feel about every soul. The way you mourning for that little piece of fruit that I can provide you another one, whatever the gourd was, whatever that thing was, I could provide for you another one. I got those by the tens of thousands, the millions if you need them. But each one of these souls that I ask you to go and preach to them are precious to me. And as the one that I have chosen, I expected you to follow my word. Read the story of Jonah. He hated the mission. He didn't want the mission that Abba gave to him. But at the end, Abba had to show him that every one of those souls I asked you to go preach to are precious to me. So family, that ends Brother Ahab all 6 weeks. Prayerfully, everyone got something from it. Prayerfully, you learned from the mistakes that I made. Prayerfully, you are praying for me that I don't continue to make certain mistakes, that I be responsible with my emotions, that I do not allow life circumstances to put me in a bad mindset. And again, I need your help. I used to be too arrogant and too stubborn, as I used to say, I'm my own best counselor. I had to learn the hard way that sometimes it's best to seek outside help. Sometimes even the shrink needs a shrink. As the scriptures say, doctor, heal yourself. And the moral of that is sometimes a doctor needs a doctor. Even if it's the same situation, he might be a cardiology specialist. But if he has heart problems, cardiac problems, he's got to go to another cardiac doctor to get the treatment. Message. So anyway, family, that ends my 6 weeks. Next week, by, if Yahweh willing, you'll be hearing from Brother Deuel for 6 weeks and whatever journey Abba has taken him on and to lead him into edifying the body of Yahushua. Baruch Atah Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King, Baruch Atah Yahushua, our mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All praise, all glory, all honor be to you, Abba Yah. We thank you, Father, for loving us. Even at the time, Father, when we didn't know about you, we thank you for calling us out. We thank you for bringing us into your presence. We thank you, Father, for opening the door, Father, so that we could receive salvation. Father, look upon us with mercy, Father. Father, we are up against things, Father, we can't even see, Father, but we can feel. We can't touch, Father, but we know they exist, Father. Father, we are up against the principalities and powers of darkness in high places, Father, that as we learn through your servant, one of the patriarchs, Levi, that we are under attack more so than any other people in this world, Father. So, Father, please have mercy on us when we fall short. Please, Father, please, we beg you, Father, I beg you to have mercy on me where I fall short. And I continue to fall short in so many ways. But I ask you, Father, to please forgive me. And I ask you for any of my brothers or sisters are in similar situations, that you give them the heart to cry out to you for the help that they need. And if there is anything that any one of us as Morays can do to help our brothers and sisters on this journey, that we have the strength and the wisdom through your word and through your son to help them find their way out of the darkness, to help them find their way back into the fold. Father, we want to be used the way you called us to be used. We want to be your vessels, Abba Yah. We want to be the men that represent you well. So we ask, Father, that you look after us with mercy. Father, sometimes we find ourselves in situations we don't even know how we got there. But we know, Father, that nothing will happen to us, Father, without you allowing it. So we ask that you be patient with us, Father, as we navigate our way through this life in this way, as we journey towards freedom in the promised land. We ask you to fill us up, to hedge us up, tear us down what we need to be, and then to build us back up. B'Shem Rabbi Melech Yahushua HaMashiach. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family. Shabbat Shalom.
Sit back and say, remember my ways. Oh, me like it out of my cage. Yes, I am a slave, searching for some freedom, searching for some freedom. So I'm tender, sing them songs to spark memory. What is a man with no history? Where am I? Who am I? What is this place? Spinning in space, I will be alive. I will be alive. Oh, I will be light. Oh, I will be light. Time will continue without you. So in the end, it's not about you, but what did you do?
Yeah.